Episode 2 junga onome episode 10 2021 amalo nipibo mo tunga sokitse onome tena episode ohana mahate halanga yo Professor Richard Badjomig dana inunulo ila inunulo ikalinulo ikayokte ohataranga yo ane atare no mechanot amalo ubanga jo inao yo men a persona ngamme yunga Tana ingile o sema de coroma atele me na legiga ko amalo eno tete o tone ne jare ne tu sa hatala ngame yo se so na na tu na gete hi I'm Annie Pisupti today is April 13 2021 and welcome to Nipiwo today Tina Pisupti speaks with Professor Richard Budjo about his work in the indigenous health field And I interviewed Joey Nauyuk about his new song, Naligigaku. We also will listen to Inuttitut music, so keep on listening.
Wearing a mask is a way to show your community love and care.
Atataga by Reed.
Ulumi smagivagi. Puigula simangilagi. Rilami tuti takunaringa Ipasa ikalokagi Ikaiga kihunga punga Rilami tuti
Tina Pisukti here with Richard Budgel. Richard is from Labrador City, Nunatsiavut. He's here today to speak to us about his work with McGill University and his other work within medicine. Good morning, Richard.
Hi, Tina.
Can you give us a little bit about your background? Where we mentioned you're from Labrador City, but do you want to talk to us a little bit about being from Labrador and how you ended up here in Montreal working with McGill?
So as you said, I grew up in Labrador City. For most of my childhood, so Labrador City is a mining town in Western Labrador. It's by the very close to the Quebec border. My parents moved there when I was 7 years old. Both of my parents were from Labrador. So my mother is from a village called Northwest River that's near Happy Valley Goose Bay in central Labrador and Upper Lake Melville. And my father was from a community called Rigolet. Rigolet's in Nunatsiavut. Rigolet is the southernmost Inuit community in Canada, in Inuit Naungat. And my father was a Halanut, but grew up surrounded by Inuit. So this is where a lot of my cultural knowledge comes from both of my parents. So I spent every summer when I was a child in Northwest River. And then I lived there for a bit in the 1980s. And then after my parents retired and moved there in the mid-1980s, spent a lot of time after my parents were living there and retired there. So that's kind of the home place really for my family. So it's a mixed community, Inuit, some white, and then directly across the river from us is Shahajit, which is an Innu reserve. And we have lots of connections with those people as well. So, you know, we're in one of these zones where Inuit and First Nations people meet. In you know, that kind of, let's call it like a border zone in a way, you know. And so I went to university in St. John's, Newfoundland, to Memorial University when I was 17 years old, went from Labrador City to there, ended up studying at a bunch of universities, graduating eventually with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, bachelor's degree from Memorial and a master's degree from Carleton University. After I had moved to Ottawa, where I moved from St. John's, and came to Montreal in 2015 from Ottawa because I was offered a job here with the First Nations and Inuit Health Branch. I was then part of Health Canada. It's now part of the, what's called the Department of Indigenous Services Canada. I retired from that job last year in 2020 and joined the Department of Family Medicine at McGill based on my experience in the health field and my knowledge of Indigenous communities, particularly Inuit.
Mm-hmm. At the Faculty of Medicine, you are a professor of practice. Can you talk to us a bit about what a professor of practice is and what that position entails?
Means if you keep practicing, then you just get better and better at it, but you got to keep practicing. It's a title that's used for people who are coming from non-academic backgrounds. So I've never been in academe before. You know, I worked in the public service. So it is a title that recognizes that I come with this kind of knowledge from the public service and my knowledge of Indigenous communities, but I don't come from an academic background. So it's something to bring me into academe, but you know, I'm not a tenured professor, and in fact, my position at McGill is part-time, and it's currently for a time period of 3 years.
And what is the goal of having a practicing professor?
What do they want me to do?
What do they want you to do? Exactly. Why would it be appealing to have someone with a history in public health and coming from the public sector to be at a university?
So as far as I understand, there, before I was hired, there were no Inuit faculty at McGill at all.
Hmm.
So I am the first Inuk to be hired as a faculty member at McGill in any faculty, in any department.
Oh, wow.
I know. that's kind of what I thought too. I join a couple of First Nations people who are in the Faculty of Medicine. So I have a close colleague whose name is Alex McComber, who's from Ganawage, who is in family medicine like me. And there is another professor, Dr. Kent Saylor, also Mohawk, in the Faculty of Medicine, but no Inuit. So, you know, that's a gap. I mean, that's mm-hmm. Given the province that we live in with second largest Inuit population of all regions and within Inuit Nunavut, Nunavik is the second largest population. So in this province, like, we need to see representation and inclusion of Inuit in public institutions. So the expectation is that, you know, I will be doing some teaching and some researching in relation to Inuit, particularly in this province. Not restricted to that, but, you know, with a focus on this province, bringing that kind of knowledge and working to have that kind of inclusion within the university. So I'm involved in projects across the university, like, for example, the creation of Indigenous spaces within the university. We're working on the creation of some Indigenous space within the offices of family medicine that are on Côte de Neige Road. And that's happening in other departments and faculties throughout the university. I'm involved in a major project that is the rebuilding, reconstruction of a new complex where the Royal Victoria Hospital was, that in some elements of the historic architecture, but then also build some new buildings as well. And there's a big discussion going on there in terms of the kind of Indigenous space that that can incorporate. So part of what I'm trying to do in this role is to say Inuit are part of the Indigenous community, yes, and Inuit have our own distinctiveness, and not to be just lumped in with First Nations people, you know, who I love and respect, and then lots of friends and colleagues and everything, but we are not to be just lumped in, and we're not also just an add-on to that those populations and their cultures and values. And we know that we've got lots in common with First Nations people, and we know, and they don't always know, that we have stuff that makes us very distinctive and different from those populations who are our friends and, you know, frequently allies. But, you know, it's important to make the point that Inuit have our own distinctiveness, and, you know, we have the right to that. Elements about our history.
Yeah, and I think most Inuit don't realize that we only account for 5% of the Indigenous population in Canada. It's very easy to get lost in a much greater population with, as you said, Inuit often being add-ons, but having that distinctness. And I think a lot of discussions arose after the incident with Joyce Echiquan, with many articles and a lot of even just comments and conversations within the community about how that really resonates with Inuit, and that this experience is a common experience for Inuit. And so I know in your interview with CBC, you spoke a little bit about that and what that Inuit experience looks like and some of those changes. So can you share with our listeners some of that messaging and some of those ideas that you shared about the treatment of Inuit within health and social services and some of the changes that need to come about?
I have a colleague, Dr. Samir Shaheen Hussein, who is in, works as a physician, but also in the Faculty of Medicine at McGill. So he's written a book called Fighting for a Hand to Hold. And that book is about, it's centered on, focused on the medical evacuations that were taking place out of Nunavik and in other regions of Quebec, where children were being evacuated without parental accompaniment. And in fact, the parental accompaniment was being denied to parents desperately wanted to be able to accompany their sick child being evacuated to, you know, a medical facility in Southern Quebec, usually in Montreal. So that to me is an example of the kind of systemic discrimination that Inuit and other Indigenous people faced, where they were denied this really kind of basic, what you think is a basic human right, that children should not be separated from their parents in that kind of, you know, medical emergency. That's when you, you know, a child would want to be with their parent the most. But that's something that went on for years and for decades. And thankfully, that stopped now. But it is an example of the kind of situations that people have found themselves in repeatedly and repeatedly, because that happened hundreds of times to hundreds of children and parents. We want to ensure that that kind of thing does not happen anymore. And we want to ensure that anybody being, you know, medically evacuated, brought to health facilities in southern Quebec, usually in Montreal, that they're treated completely with respect and with some degree of understanding. And you know, like, not to forget that, you know, we have a growing Inuit urban population here in Montreal. So we're people who are not being medically evacuated, but walking into health facilities ourselves from where we live in Montreal or the greater Montreal region. And we also need that kind of feeling of security, that we can go into a medical facility or for a procedure and that we'll be treated completely with respect and a degree of understanding. That's a human right. It's, you know, it's not asking for anything special. It's a human right that we deserve, like everybody else, that will be treated fairly and respectfully, and ideally with some degree of cultural understanding of who we are. So I want to, you know, do some teaching. I have a course that's under development at McGill that will be available to people in health profession training programs in family medicine and others. So, you know, that kind of education can help non-Inuit develop some kind of understanding. And there needs to be just more and more and more of that in all kinds of settings, in university settings, in professional settings. We just need to be doing more and more of that.
Beyond that education piece of non-Inuit, I know you've also spoken about actively trying to bring in other Inuit into the university, whether they be students, faculty members, or advisors. This is a huge job, of course, but I guess, why would this, tell people why this would be appealing and why they should be interested and perhaps give a hand in this.
We need to be seen and heard. And to be seen and heard, we need to be present. It is increasingly easy for people to be seen and heard. We've learned this from the pandemic, that you can participate without necessarily being in the same place physically. So part of what's happening at McGill is there is more and more thinking going into how can we make remote education more accessible and viable. There's been a big challenge in terms of Nunavik because the
bandwidth,
thank you. Bandwidth is so frequently so crappy, right? Mm-hmm. So that has made remote education a real challenge, but there's signs that the bandwidth is going to improve. So McGill, I think, and other institutions is looking at how can we make post-secondary education more accessible. We know that we need Inuit to be in all kinds of occupations and in all kinds of places economically and in academe. In Labrador, that's been the case for quite a long time. So in my family, I'm the third generation in my own family, my mother and my grandmother before me, who had post-secondary educations. My mother and my grandmother both went to teachers' college. That's not that common in Nunagat as a whole, but mm-hmm. in Labrador, that's been the case for a long time. And there's a lot of people from Nunatsiavut and Nunatsiavut beneficiaries who are in the post-secondary world and getting post-secondary educations. It is not for everybody. It doesn't have to be for everybody. But for anybody who wants this kind of world and wants to have an influence and make a difference in that kind of post-secondary world, university and college world, then people have to get the educations. You have to go through the process. I'm starting in September a doctoral program. I'm starting a PhD. I'll be studying again, as well as teaching and researching and doing other stuff. You're never too old. And I'm old, but you're never too old to do that kind of thing.
I think that sounds absolutely wonderful to hear that you're going to continue your studies and encouraging others to continue their studies as well, if that's something they so choose to do, which is important for people to hear, because you're right, it's not for everybody, post-secondary education. And we have a lot of different people in the community with many different skills. I know we're always trying to, at SQIA, let people know that cultural skills can be used to be a profession. But this is a job, and there's perhaps a business element that can be joined with a cultural knowledge to make for some wonderful businesses. And I think the openness for McGill to finally have an Inuk staff member is wonderful. I think it is hopeful for the rest of us. To think that there's kind of an open door at McGill. I know a lot of students have made complaints in the past that when they have non-Indigenous professors, sometimes things are being taught in the classroom or said in the classroom that don't sit well with the students. Mm-hmm. They get offended and they get hurt by discussions and discourse in the classroom. I guess I'm wondering, how do you think this can change over time? Because there are students who are making great attempts to be in school and they are taking Indigenous studies classes, but they're feeling that they're not being heard, that their experience as Indigenous individuals somehow isn't as relevant or as important as their professors. And now we're seeing someone with a career working with the community, going into the university, obviously changing this dynamic. Do you think that your presence and the work you're doing will change what this looks like in the classroom and change maybe that process of complaints that those students have been having difficulty with?
Part of how it changes is by having Indigenous people in these roles. So I never had an Indigenous prof in a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in multiple universities. I never had an Indigenous prof. I had lots of people who had, in fact, very good understandings of Indigenous communities and people and issues, but I never had an Indigenous prof. That changes the nature of the discussion, I think. One of my dreams is that I will be able to teach an Indigenous class, an all Indigenous, and I mean, it'd be wonderful for me to be able to teach an all Inuit class, because then we can have an informed kind of dialogue in that kind of setting. I can have my opinions, I can have my perspectives, and then I can hear my students coming back to me with their opinions and their perspectives that may not be the same as mine. They don't have to be the same, but we're informing each other from the same cultural place, you know? We're all coming from a similar set of values, I think. And I think that would just be so much fun and so enriching for everyone. But you don't get that kind of experience if you don't have any Indigenous professors. You need Indigenous professors to be able to do that kind of thing. So that's absolutely one of my dreams, that we will be able to do that in some kind of setting. And, you know, maybe in Nunavik, in fact, to do that kind of thing in, an Inuit setting.
That would be absolutely, I think, wonderful. And I'm pretty sure there's quite a few listeners who would be really interested in something like this. Richard, you mentioned you're developing a course. It's going to be available at McGill. I think it's Inuit and Medicine course.
Inuit Health in the Canadian context.
Inuit Health in the Canadian context. How can we find out more about this? Where should our listeners go to get updates about the progress of this course and any other events or opportunities for Inuit within McGill?
So it will appear, if it's approved, and it better be approved, it'll appear in the course calendar for next year for 2021-22. I think it will probably be offered next winter, the winter of 2022. It's going to be a graduate course in family medicine. It'll be open to people in the medical streams, so medicine, nursing, dentistry, and then can be open to other students as well. It's graduate level. It could be open to advanced undergraduate students as well from McGill, and in fact, potentially from other universities within Montreal. So it'll be advertised within McGill. I'm going to keep people posted, and, you know, like, we can talk again you know, as things develop. I want people from the Indigenous community and Inuit community in Montreal to be aware of this, because it'll be an interesting experience. You know, if there were Inuit students that were able to participate, that would be really wonderful for me to be able to have Inuit students in that class. Of course, it'll be offered repeatedly. So it's not just a one-time thing. It would be offered like at least once a year, as long as I'm around. And then hopefully, you know, when I retire again, whatever that's going to be, there will be another Inuk who can teach this kind of thing on the faculty at McGill by that mm-hmm. time.
I really hope that will be the case, and perhaps maybe even one of the students who attends your class.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So, Will, if you share that with the team at the Southern Quebec Inuit Association, we'll gladly share that with the community and keep the community updated of any opportunities. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today. Before you go, are there any comments, any shout outs you'd like to make?
I'd say thank you, Tina Nakumik, and good luck to you personally. And we'll miss you all when you're gone, but we wish you all the best, and you go with our love and best wishes.
Thank you. And for those listeners who don't know, I will be going on a maternity leave. I'm expecting a beautiful baby girl in June. Thank you so much, Richard, for the blessings of good health, and take good care of yourself. Stay safe, stay healthy, as we continue to work our way through this difficult moment, which is the pandemic.
Hi, Cory Panekongama. Kanyak silang muta. Uno ingang narak ta nagliyaw yugo ng atili.
Hingilaw lang hiling mo Pukaw di gumagaki inusibo Aroma, panuruk ta nagligi yao yugu. Oh, jerry talo de inusibu. Ayong naksiga nga, uvan no sangugun naktuti. Iga yong nakpagi, makitin nakpagi. Oh, 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 eh, eh, nagligi yao yugu.
Na kong mi ko
kinak pasimagubit nuna hatitinut takut sao titsibutit nalinyaknik kamatsyanir nilo. Wearing a mask shows your community that you love and care.
Tim Ivit ingisimiyut alianit inawatta.
Kau taman inusi tukisi valang ina pagtabu kanoli ulumi isuma.
Tai mai la kagitaw de kuta kom naksi mga kuta na ingitilo tinal de kiga kumi piyo mga yalo to sa nito mga yalo lune kuya na mikulo tay mai tuaro na ingilo sa mga tsi pisiti o sa wika o sa da kano de isum malo ti da na ingilo amin na de kiga kumi wakano
kano tay mga Tai nak wate aku kalau lulu tu tidak kalau semua ya. Mana itu kita angkara aku kacau lumi yuk ya tidak kalau semua ya dan.
Ibi ay pangano?
Ing los mayo.
Eh, asipulo. At dilaw taon na kasi laki na mo.
Ikalun ni maong at ikito kalaw si Mayu. At dilaw rigato ito ni. Nasa ito ni at dilaw tabulo yung nilaktay ko kangatak titaw si Mayu. At dilaw ti promise. Temet ni lo nasa ito ni.
Asama ka. Company tayo ko ikalun ni
Ati lewat je, IBC kau kanu kau yang ay? IBC kau itu, Atigo Media wadai ni kau ikat jaga kau itu.
Tapi malah kat sini okey kat tu, ingat kat talen nak kan?
Ingat seluruh pelajar loss mungkin kau 15 ni. Teman aku juga kat tengah kita pagi pelajar tengah lo, kisah ni, teman kali masuk sekarang aku lulus semua kemana ingat tak yang aku bagi akhir nak semua ya kak, kisah ni ingat silau kat tadi lulus semua yang kaya 15 ni, bukan ni juga kat tengah.
Kanu, aku biasa kau segala itu kau kiri apa yo ingat kata sih nak aku biasa aku sih kau tiri sih orang apa yo.
Ama kanu lo ipin ayat ini or ipin ayat ka kanu nalu nalu mata ingat sih kulo ni nalu nangin sahulis semua yo. Ingat tu, tidak ingat tu.
Asukulu. Tema ukhale mami gama. Whoa, I want to do that. Imailin na kigo. O kanu unas kanu mitchili.
Mani. So kasi ulo ng mani panotumi. Niyo siya to kapalos mo mima. Ila music festival to kapalos mo mima. This money takun na katok tugi ni iyosi yang ni me kubeg ila takun na tugi alay ni ke balos mo gaki te mga nilimang yatu ni iyosi yang ni mo nga si mayu yatu ma
taiko ato panato me ang ulaw si madyo panato me ang ulaw si madyo nulay ari inugun ni tukulo madyo taiko tu sa nga katero gibigisu sa kuitulok ko.
Pekualu ama mana asal lu yang ingin kata semua memang tahu perubahan lu ni takut nak kata tu ke perubahan apa yang dia ama semakai sebab selu ni takut ngap tu ke demi tu gue minat kata yang mana
Asli la, tak kuasa orang sih lo tu, siapa kerja menikul tu, akit tu aloi. Kubiana, suli ingi leh kata ke, ilan ni, titah kata ke suli ingi kata ni.
Ya, titah kata tu ngamalo. Titah aku ya pemilih suli.
Ami suli si, ni jauh sejak hati gipe si.
Mana le ni yau siya luap pang ilamat mungkin ada mana ni yau siya luap pang jatung lah kisah ni ilamat ni yau siya kata kalau pang itu mana
inutung lu tin ingat kata ni yau siya ilamat pang itu tin
ya
tapi mago ni do me noi do khala la me ma be ingeli ami ninga ne khanga noi ga jam nga khau je mang ni bio
ya Sulaiman khagun nang tung kisani patya golo ya gon nak tu amma lu tenna tena orang ini ngani asyik ni ngah song mi no ya kok kena karam mi amma nutam mi music video lo semua mi ugu suli tena no ya karam mi tena CD no ya orang ini ngani
ta kangal kaya ngai tena music video tak no ya kok
amma nak lo tu galak sulit kau nangin nama kangal lagi orang mana
No, kuta kuta ko na ga yakha. Kuta ko na ga yakha.
Tema YouTube ko balo Facebook ko lu ni to. Te ko na sakela mi.
Asukulo. A perso te tsaga ga la ko ne ga male. Ni li kan ne ga mabe.
Age o ko si tsaga ka ni ngitu asani.
Ko jan na me nga ni pi bu ko a perso ko na ga ta ga ke. Joe.
Yeah.
To Sasiavo, Joy Nauyuk, Ingitilogo, Naligako, because I love her.
Ling
Nakome, Nippy Mut, Nalago Nagatarache, Dana Sibul Nilajo, Angela Amagualo, Ingilia Mininga, Amalota, Banipina Sutu Gut, Ubanga, Anipisuti, Jennifer May, Nancy Angile, Tina Pusuti, Alexa Kiliuta, Amalo, Carl Bauer. Nakome Roma Mayo Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, and Amalo CKUT 90.3 FM. Pina sa ako siyula ato mi, nalalaro mo si Urban Indigenous Radio mi. Ama pina sa ako siya makro namin pati April 26 ngulit ka utila mo yugo. Ma nato saksaw lang alam mo yun, so perspective. Thank you for listening to Nipibut. Our theme song is by Angela Amarole. This episode was made by me, Annie Pisuti, Jennifer May, Nancy Angelik, Tina Pisuti, Alexa Kaliutak, and Carl Bauer. Thanks to Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio, and we will be back April 27. Stay tuned for Soul Perspective coming up next. Bye! Taba wusi!
Is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Greetings. Welcome to another edition of The Goods on CKUT 90.3 FM. Coming at you from Kamisa, Cape Town, with your host, Uta G.
Naturally. Like a bird, like a bird, sing naturally.